Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome back to the latest or final Mountain Division show. We're so close to that Australia kickoff game. I guess they're playing American football there, Cal versus Hawaii, but we're talking Boise State preview today. Jeremy Moss here, as always, hanging out with Chris Hondris and Matt Kennerly. And our website's MWC Connection, or let's just try that again here, MWCConnection.com. I believe, assuming I'm saying it right, that's correct. Facebook, all the same, Twitter, you know the drill now, so... Welcome, and we're extremely close. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Very ready.
Very ready for some football here. So, got Boise State here, the final team in the Mountain Division. Should we just go in order? Offense, or actually coaching changes, since they have a new OC and DC for at least OC for a couple years in a row, DC again for the first time in a while. I guess we should start with at the top. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So let's go with you, Chris, since you're our Boise State expert, but we know people will say Homer, but I don't care because you know what you're chatting about with this stuff. So offensive coordinator, they have another one again. Does it matter that they have a new OC because Brian Harsin's still basically running the offense?
I mean, it sort of matters, but at the same time, it really doesn't. The big hire here is not the fact that Scott Huff is given part, because Brian Harsin went with co-offensive coordinators. It's not Scott Huff that's being like the big hire here, because he was offensive line coach. And so he already kind of, you know, specialized in that. It's really the steal from Hawaii and Zach Hill, who is from Eastern Washington.
You mean his 1 week stay in Hawaii for his vacation?
His 1 week tenure in Hawaii, yeah. But that gives Boise a possibly faster presence. Zach Hill, remember, was there when Eastern Washington has had its recent rise since about, you know, 2010. And Zach Hill's been part of that. He may have not been there for the whole thing, but he's been there for a significant portion of that and helped train Vernon Adams as a quarterback. So if you're talking about a guy who helped train Vernon Adams, and now you're putting him work, having him work with Brett Rypien, who's already fantastic to begin with.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of a scary thought to think about, because they weren't that far off the scoring pace that they had in 2014 when they went to the Fiesta Bowl. This is a team that averaged a shade over 39 points per game under the old guy Drinkwitz. So if you're talking about running an even faster tempo, especially with all the skill position players they have coming back, you know, is this a team that could average 40 points a game?
It wouldn't be surprising, because Drinkwitz last year basically helped, along with Harsin, get the offense back to where they were in that mid-2000s form. So this could even help them get even closer to that just whack powerhouse offense.
They might have to, because the defense, we'll get to it later, but the defensive personnel they lost, it possibly could be a step back there, and so they might need to outscore some of these opponents like Washington State or BYU or San Jose State, so, or Air Force as well. That could be a, they might need to score that amount of points every game to get the victories.
Yeah.
So offense should be fine because that, like I say, there's not much you can say from EWU. They went to the FCS title game or deep playoff runs multiple years in a row. And with Harsin, there's not a big concern. Then defensively, Marcel Yates, Boise grad, goes to Arizona. Can't blame him for going to a better conference, better program a little bit, but better, more money, obviously, that's the case. But they promote from within for Andy Avalos to be the defensive coordinator. And it's not an outside hire, which is fine. He'll just have a big issue. Like we said, they lose who? There's Dante Dion, Darian Thompson, Kamel Correa. All these guys are in the NFL. They had to replace quite a bit. And he's good, having a guy who went to the school, or excuse me, played linebacker, Boise State, been a coach here the past couple of years. He kind of knows what they need or who they need to play the best defensive spots in the field. So I think this is probably the more pressing hire or one to look at more than the offensive hire because of Harsin. It's still his offense.
And to keep that, go ahead, Craig.
Go ahead, Matt.
No, I'm just going to add, to keep that in perspective, you know, they're losing a few key pieces to the NFL, but if they can replace the guys, it's important to keep in mind they only allowed like 20 points a game as a defense, despite kind of the big plays that they, you know, the defensive breakdowns that they had in certain occasions last year. And this is a team that recruits better than anybody else in the country, so they're deeper than pretty much anybody else in the conference.
Yeah, look at who is the guy from Texas, from Dallas. I think it's Marcel Yates who brought him in. He was going to go to Texas A&M a couple years ago, decided to come to Boise State. It was the Daryl Green Summers, I believe. Was it DSG they call him? Is that
Dylan? Dylan Sumner Garner.
Yeah, that guy, Dylan Sumner Garner. Sorry, he was a huge recruit. Should step up right away. And like you said, they have some drop off. But they lost. But again, like Matt's right, they recruit at such a higher level compared. Who cares about nationally? It's within the conference. When you are recruiting at that level, overall they're not like head and shoulders above everybody else, but certain positions they certainly are. And
but see, here's the thing, and they lost tons of stuff on defense, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Andy Avalos played linebacker for Boise. He's the defensive coordinator. The identity is not going to change. I expect that this is going to be more of a reloading defense rather than just start from scratch, because even the guys who have to step up and replace have had experience and have had significant numbers last year. So
that makes sense. I just want to bring this up because we know lovely Aztec preview. People are a specific group of Aztec fans will say we're getting pissy because the defense won't be as good. We never really said that. We just said we were looking for areas where they might struggle, and losing a couple of guys they did is possibility. And it's same for Boise State. Chris, you could be right. They could be just as fine or better. So same as San Diego State. They had a huge rotation. They'll bring players back in. But again, if you're losing multiple players to NFL, there's still some concern. It's like what I said losing J.H.I. a couple years ago. People were bashing me saying, they'll be fine. They'll be great. They have all this other talent back. But losing, they did eventually be fine with who they found replacing J.H.I. last year, like Jeremy Nichols and everybody else. That's still an issue to look at. So we can't say it's going to be. I know, Chris, you're not saying they're going to be perfectly fine, but based on history, they should be fine, as with, like we said, San Diego State, or with Air Force losing running backs, or looking at other teams like Nevada, the running game should be fine, that even though they're bringing guys back. But certain schools, what positions they're always good at historically, they should be nearly as good the following year. And so that's what I think we're getting here. We'll get to the defense, but it shouldn't be, not going to be considered great, but they'll be, if they're on par, that's expected, but there could be a little drop off. Just some key areas you need to look at to say replacing two NFL guys on your defensive secondary, that's a pretty big deal.
They could take a step back and still have an argument as a top three defense in this conference.
Oh, absolutely.
San Diego State, and who would you put above them? Because I don't think Utah State might not be there this year.
I would say Utah State has an argument, and also Air Force.
I'd say our Air Force has probably the most likely argument.
Yeah, maybe San Jose State, but we'll see. But regardless, I think like with the Aztecs, they'll be fine defensively. They may not be as great, but they're not going to have a huge drop off. Because I expect there to be a little bit of a drop off. It won't be anything historic or huge where, like I said earlier, where they need to average 40 points a game to win 40-35. That's not the case, but against certain teams, maybe.
So let's take a look. It's Ripien at the quarterback. He's going to be great.
Moving on.
Well, yes, but we need to, if people aren't aware, because I guess we made a little snafu in the Air Force transfer quarterback situation, need to know Ryan Finley, as expected, no longer there, heading to NC State, could start for them next year following Drinkwitz there to as the OC of Boise. It's going to be him, and it's going to be Rippon. We know that. He's media day. By the time this comes out, probably already passed. Brett Rippon will be the first team quarterback, and their backups, Thomas Stewart, he's a good backup to have. I don't know what he can do, but he is highly regarded enough where he was technically in the running last year when Finley beat out Rippon in that spring and fall headed into the 2015 year. So I think they'll be fine overall. With Rippon, it's hard to come up with. Like, I can't say it's going to be amazing. When you're the first team quarterback coming back, you're expected to be the guy. What areas do you think he could be better at? Because he completed 64% of his passes, 20 touchdowns. Probably that'd be nice to be higher, but again, he didn't play every game. 8 interceptions, that's not amazing, but that's okay. Chris, what do you think, like, his areas he needs to work on maybe to where he could be even better?
Honestly, the next step up for Rippon is completion rate. So first of all, the offensive line, he was sacked 20 times, and that has to go down, absolutely. But his completion rate at 64% was great as a freshman, but if we're touting him, and I know – I personally was sort of touting him last year as the next Kellen Moore. But
careful there.
Yeah. Well, he
just has the most wins ever in FBS, so that's a pretty big leap.
No, this is true. But the similarities were absolutely striking. And you don't have that same team that Kellen Moore had. But from quarterback for quarterback perspective, Rippon is similar. He's a little bit taller, a little bit leaner. But I think just moving that completion rate up to more, if we're going from 63.6, if he moves that up to, I'd say, 67 to 70%.
You know, he led the conference in passing percentage as well last year.
I know. But it's a good number to start, but that number I think can be even better. Because a lot of those balls last year were overthrown. And I think if he improves his accuracy just a little bit, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to cause huge trouble for any defense.
What do you want him to be at? Because, like, Jared Goff last year was at 69%.
I said between 67 and 70.
There's only one player. I'm looking at the guys who had over at least, looks like, 300 attempts, I think. Or no, excuse me, let's go down there. 270, because I see Kenny Potter here. Only Brandon Dowdy of Western Kentucky was over 70% in the nation.
Well, what I was looking at when I was researching for the show is the fact that, you know, first of all, I agree with Chris, but for a different reason. Because if you look at the games that Boise won last year, he had a completion percentage of 71.9%. And he had 17 touchdowns against 2 interceptions. And in the 3 games that he played and they lost, that completion percentage was down to 51.2%. That's a huge difference. So to me, like, I frame my question a little bit differently is, you know, can he avoid those big blow up spots? Because that's really what cost him in those games against New Mexico and Utah State was his inability to, you know, he was mistake prone in those games. And when he wasn't, he was pretty much lights out.
Look at seeing that over 75% in what 4 games last year. Idaho State game doesn't count. He came off the bench and it's Idaho State, but could be right. Looking at that, not doing well versus Utah State or Air Force, New Mexico. He threw, or was that 74 throws in New Mexico? That was
and the other thing is too is that his completion percentage, dropped every month. You know, in 2 games in August and September, he was at 72.7%. By November, in 3 games, he was down to 56.8%. So I don't know if that was a matter of defenses kind of figuring out what he was doing. Maybe he was, you know, showing some tendencies. But if he could figure that out, he should, again, be the best quarterback in the conference.
Well, I think he will be. I think in November, looking at that, New Mexico Air Force played a big deal because San Jose State, who always has a good secondary, let him up for percentage-wise, not yardage. And then NIU, we saw that just completely crushed him. So it's kind of when they played. But he's also a sophomore. He's a freshman last year, and look how good he is. So he has to, I think he's – odds of a step back are pretty slim. Like, I could see him. He's a player that they need him to, if they're going to win and be possibly great, like we kind of said, they should be the leader to win the division and compete with the Aztecs for the title game, for the championship. He can't have games where, like Utah State game or the Air Force game or New Mexico, where he had, what, three interceptions? He had six interceptions in Utah State, New Mexico. That's six of his eight. So I think you're right, Matt. If he can decrease those issues and get good defenses, then I don't know how good he could be, because he's already the best quarterback in the conference, and he could get some serious pub just because, A, credibility matters, historic stuff matters. Boise State's going to be a known team. They've almost always had a good quarterback, going back to Jared Zabransky and Ryan Dinwiddie. Yeah, Ryan Dinwiddie back a decade ago, more than a decade ago. They know that's there. They know they put up points, and so limit those mistakes, and they'll be tough to beat. Like, we'll get to the schedule, but there are teams on there that are tricky that will cause issues, but I don't see a team that's going to just blow them out. But there are a possibility of plenty of losses. But let's plenty of quarterback. We don't need to make this too long because we got stuff to do. Running game again. They bring it's Jeremy McNichols. Kelsey Young came in from Stanford. Right, he's the one from Stanford, correct? Or was that Corey Young?
Kelsey Young.
Making sure on there, because I know he has a brother, Corey Young. And find a reasonable backup, whether it's like Ryan Wolpin or Stewart. He QB ran a few times for a garbage time, but they need, I guess, find a backup, because three of their top eight rushers were quarterbacks last year. And so you can't really have that, but I think they'll be fine as well. There's not an issue. They just need to find a durable backup, right?
Yeah, and even then, they still have a durable backup, whether it's Demas, who actually takes the most of the reins, or you could say Wolpin, or even Corey Young. I mean, Corey Young is very reliable in the minutes that he played last year. Wolpin came in mostly in the fourth quarter of those blowouts and did very well. Devin Demas came, you know, third quarter, kind of substituted out for Kelsey Young. So any one of those guys can kind of pick up the load. My biggest concern is there were five lost fumbles last year. No, I'm sorry. Seven lost fumbles. Eight lost fumbles. But just there were 12 fumbles and five lost between McNichols and Rippon. That number needs to drop.
Well, but Rippon's not your runner. So you can take away him and even probably Thomas Spurbeck, his fumble are kind of fluky. Those aren't really in the running game. But your point's made. You can't lose the ball.
I mean, what's interesting to me is that Boise's always had a running game that's fine. You know, they never had kind of that elite running game like Air Force or New Mexico has had, or San Diego State has had in recent years.
Excuse me.
You know, the best they've done is average like 4.9 yards a carry, and that was in Jay Ajayi's last year. And I almost wonder.
And you could make an argument for Doug Martin before.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, that was kind of a while ago. I was just kind of looking at the past several years when they've been in the Mountain West. But I mean, I wonder if they have that ability to take that step forward and average over 5 yards a carry. And I'm looking at the pieces that they're trying to replace on the offensive line. And to me, that's kind of a critical question, is if they can replace guys like Marcus Henry and Reese Odhiambo.
I mean, I think both of those guys are in the NFL now.
Yeah.
And I think it should be fine. Archie Lewis played a few games last year. And he started a few years before then. But
that's your biggest concern.
It's gonna be your transfer, Will Adams from Auburn. That's gonna be the big key in that offensive.
That's true. I mean, I'm not saying that they aren't experienced. I'm not saying that they're not good. I just wonder if they have that one kind of last gear in them to really make them, the most efficient and dangerous offense in the conference week in and week out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because this offense is completely, it's so multidimensional. It's funny, we talk about a weakness in one thing, and yet the other, you know, whether it's weakness in running, passing takes up, or even if, you know, passing was off, running could take over. But it's so the offense itself is so balanced that it's when you're trying to criticize and say go to the next step, it's like well, how do we make this, you know, gear running even more efficient?
Okay, so I'm still good. Yeah. I was making sure. Okay, sorry. We'll continue. All right, let me mark this here real quick. So, but they both the guys are all conference players. Like first team all conference from last year. I know they have talent coming in, but again, this is probably the weakest spot, or the most concerning spot for the offense. Like you guys mentioned, how many sacks he gave up, ribbed fumbles were. I obviously don't have the tape in front of me, but could be from scrambling or offensive line breakdown a little bit last year. I don't recall, but this has to be their biggest issue. If they don't find replacements for these guys, there could be a concern, a legitimate concern that there could be more sacks, a rushing game drops down because of that. And I think that's their biggest concern on offense, that they don't have the losing two left tackle and center are two of the biggest losses any team could have on their line.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Connolly had this really interesting statistic that I would keep my eye on throughout the year, is that last year, you know, for as good as Jeremy McNichols was, he only managed 5 yards on carries 35% of the time. And if he could bump that up maybe 5 or 10%, be a little more consistent, a little less boom and bust, you know, if the line can do that for him, that's something that I would want to see.
Yeah. Wide receivers, we know Spearbeck is going to be the guy. But who replaces Shane Williams-Rhodes?
Good question, because he was not just really a wide receiver. He would get sweeps, the short screen stuff, that type of play where get the ball quickly and just go. Who do you think that could be? You got Chaz, could it be Chaz Anderson, perhaps?
Well, they list Sean Modster as the next wide receiver H. But it's funny because here it's almost as if they're trying to play more possession ball. You've got your main wide receivers, Sparebeck, Chaz Anderson. You're going to have A.J. Richardson kind of replacing. And, you know, you'll have McNichols and whoever else is wide at running back catching those balls. But notice the amount of tight ends they have listed on the roster. It seems like they're going to try and play a little bit more possession ball.
Well, Jake Rowe probably is behind Billy Freeman, or one of the top 2 to 4 tight ends in the conference. What, six tight ends made the Blitnick or the tight end?
Four of them. Jake Rowe was the only junior among that four.
He's a tight end. He has to catch everything. He caught almost over 70% of his passes. So I think Chris is right. Cause if you have him as a positioning type guy, you have Spurbeck who kind of does it all, but he's a deep threat as well, getting over 10 yards an attempt target to him. I think it is what they're missing. Who's going to be what Williams Rhodes did last year, where he caught 60 passes. Yardage wise wasn't there, but he's a guy where if it's like with the running game they have, like if it's 3rd and 3 and Boise's in shotgun 80% of the time, you weren't sure if they're going to run it or do a quick pass to him. And I think that's the biggest spot they need to find a guy, whether they do not even the wide receiver screen, but like just a quick slant right off, and who's a guy who can break out to make some decent sized plays, or the guy who's just kind of a sneaky fast guy across the
bubble screen, bubble screen, bubble screen.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Stuff like that. Like it's not going to go to McNichols can do it a little bit, but they need, I think that's the only spot they're really missing. Guys can catch a bit better. Like Chaz Anderson can catch the ball a bit better compared to last year. But I think what we said earlier on, some of the throws by Rippon weren't always on target or catchable for some of the times, but I think that's the only spot they're really missing. And
so honestly, what I would love to see is, you know how they have that diamond formation that they set up a screen. Mm-hmm. I would love them to put a tight end as the back guy of that diamond screen and have them, and then he'll just use to barrel over. And they have the tight end formations to do it. And it'd be sort of like something like similar to like a Stanford type setup.
See, I think they have guys on the roster that they like to play different roles. And they've mentioned Cedric Wilson a couple times at the Idaho Statesman as a guy who really put up a strong effort in the spring. Kind of the big guy on the roster, at least among the wide receivers. You know, another guy who was getting a lot of first team reps, I guess, was Akilian Butler. who looks like he could be kind of a shifty guy from the slot. Him and Monster, I guess Monster scored twice in the spring game as well. So I don't think that they're lacking for options, and I don't think that they really need one guy to step up because they already have that guy in Spurtback. It's just a matter of, you know, who's going to step up and take those 60 catches that Shane Williams Rhodes has or had last year, rather.
That's an excellent point. I just think they need one guy, but they're not lacking for any depth. So where do we put this offense? Because this kind of wrapped up the Mountain Division. Is this the offense, like, would it be number one out of the whole conference overall? Just basically what each aspect they can do or the potential to do, assuming the line is reasonably at least average for them.
Oh yeah.
This should be the best offense in the MLS, no matter what.
Who would you put behind them? Like, what's your top three, Chris?
I'd say Boise State, New Mexico, and just purely from the aspect of a running game, I would say San Diego State.
I guess I would put Boise at the top. I would put Air Force and, yeah, I guess I would put New Mexico as well.
Man, Aztecs fans listen to this. They're not going to like us one bit any more than they already don't.
Please, they don't listen to Boise State previews.
Really? We'll find out. No, I don't know. I think I may lean more toward Matt. I think San Diego State, depending on what Christian Chapman can do, like he said, he only played, what, 2-plus games. If he, like in our show last time we mentioned with the Aztecs, if he's elite and can find guys downfield and they have receivers, that offense will, I think, be step in step with Boise State. But recording this middle of July, this will be up probably the first week of August. I don't know what their offense could be for San Diego State. What we do know is that Boise State has all the playmakers back. Reigning quarterback of the year, essentially. First team QB, best wide receiver. Running game is huge in the conference. McNichols is right up there with Brian Hill, Pumphrey, in that same neighborhood, just maybe a slight step down than I'd say those two, just barely. But it has to be what we know Boise State and with Air Force, with McVay and Jacoby Owens and Robinette, and then New Mexico, man. I know they lose Jarrell Presley, but I think I'd go those three and put San Diego State right. I'd probably put San Diego State number four just because overall. Because Boise could score maybe 60 points if they want to, 40 points a lot of these teams against these teams on their schedule. San Diego State will win games. They won big last year, but the odds of them scoring 40 points or even 30 points in most of the games is probably, if that happens, it could be because Rashard Penny has a good special teams game or the defense has a touchdown or turnover like deep in the other team's territory. But the thing is, Aztecs don't need to score points to win. You know what I mean? They could score 20 points and be fine and be dominant on offense with Pumphrey having 185 yards and two touchdowns, and they win 21-7 every week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to the defense because we're kind of moving along here. This is, like I said, my issue where they're losing. They lose a ton on the front. Like I said, Carrera's in the NFL, Tyler Horn's gone. Losing in the linebacker spot, you have Tyler Gray gone. Secondary, Darren Thompson, Dante Dion, all those guys are in the NFL. Darren Thompson might start for the Giants week one. And so this is their big concern, and this is where if teams are going to let me back up. I think I had this conversation with somebody. I don't know if it was you or maybe I heard it somewhere else. I think it was on what Bill C and those guys' podcast over there talking about what's better, elite offense or elite defense. I would think for Boise State, having a better offense can compensate for having a poorer defense because you can always score points for the most part. And if the defense struggles a little bit, offense will go down and have a drive and score points. My concern is limited with this defense. I think my concern, while there is valid concern of who they're losing, their offense is good enough to compensate if the defense takes a step back.
And up until 2010, Boise State was not known for their defense. It was known purely for their offense. So this is really kind of typical Boise State fashion where we know they're going to have a fantastic offense, but the defense, we're not too sure. I'm less concerned. I'll be honest. I'm less concerned about the front seven and more concerned about the secondary. Because, yes, in the front seven, you do lose Kamale Correa. You do lose Tyler Horn and Nance and Ty Matua. But Gabe Perez was injured all last year. But when he played in 2014, he was great. You have Jabril Frazier, who played a little bit last year. did fairly well in the limited action he saw. Sam McCaskill, Elliot Hoyt, these guys all played significant minutes last year, and they were contributing. So if it's – I mean, Elliot Hoyt was the number two guy, backup guy, and he still had 10.5 tackles.
And if you look below that, like their like you mentioned beginning recruiting, they have a handful of three-star guys. You got to have playing time to see how good you are, but potential. Those guys can fit in nicely to backup rotational roles early on, and that –
And in the linebacking core, and on the linebacking core, you say, oh, well, you lose Tyler Gray, 41.5 tackles, but you have Ben Weaver and Tanner Vallejo in front of him. And then right behind him, you had Joe Maturano, who had 36.5 tackles. So it's not a step back. It's kind of just next guy up. Let's do it.
You know who's going to be the best defender on their team, I'm going to predict right now? It's going to be Joe Maturano. Maturano, you know why? He's not playing baseball this year. He's played with the Cubs organization the past couple of years, had to drop weight during baseball season, not ready for when full fall camp comes around, not ready till mid-October. He's given up baseball this year, and I'm going to say he's going to start, I guarantee it, and he's probably going to be their best defender on the team next year. Better than Tanner Vallejo or Ben Weaver. He'll be the best linebacker and probably the best defender.
Ooh.
Okay, so then who is the guy that you think is worth watching? As if you're thinking of this next man up concept, Chris, like who's the guy you have your eye on for this front seven?
For the front seven?
Yeah.
Are we talking about backups already? Or are we talking about like brand new people in the burst on the
side? Like who we think is going to step up and make an impact this year?
I think Jabril Frazier.
Yeah. Cause I was looking into, you know, how things were shaping out over the spring. And I guess one guy that they really liked coming out of the spring was David Moa, who I guess is going to be there in the middle at defensive tackle, which is really interesting because,
you know, he's listed as defensive.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's listed as a defensive. I guess the Idaho Statesman listed him as a defensive tackle, but you know the guys up front aren't big dudes, and so that's going to be something worth watching too. Is, you know, are they going to get worn down like they did against certain teams last year? And I mean, yeah, triple but I mean, option. It's worth noting that, you know, we all remember the New Mexico game where they averaged over 10 yards a carry. But on the season, they still only allowed 3.8 yards per carry on the ground.
So everybody but New Mexico and Air Force and Utah State. So that's the thing, the three games where they just gave up tons of yards on the ground, they made up for it in those other weeks where I think they only gave up like 36 yards rushing to San Jose State or something of that sort.
That's where this needs to change. Like if they want to be back where they were, they can't have those games where they're just dominated. Like with New Mexico dominated mental errors, Utah State, same thing, just dominated in these games. And errors like either turnovers, like when they played New Mexico, where they have three drives inside the red zone, had 3 points, a missed field goal, or a turnover, I believe, something ridiculous like that, where they were moving the ball at will, but New Mexico made plays of their own and drove down the field against that rush defense, which wasn't great against these teams that are capable of just breaking off big plays.
And I mean, I think your bigger question this year is in the secondary.
And see, I was going to say, to me, like, I'm a little less concerned just because they have so many options back there with so much pedigree. Not just a guy like Sumner Gardner, who you already mentioned, but, you know, Tyler Horton, I think, is the guy they all expect to step up in place of Dante Dion. And behind him, you've got other three-star guys like Donovan Roddy or DeAndre Pierce or, you know, Ladero Blair, who could...
About six of them listed here.
So it's not like, to me, it's the same kind of thing that we talked about with, you know, the offensive line and with the receivers. It's like they aren't lacking for options, and all the options that they have are pretty good in their own right.
It's just experience they're needing. That's the issue we have. Like, if you look who played last year, like, guys who are returning, like, who didn't start, like, Cameron Miles played all 12 games, Raymond Ford played all 12 games. Horton played all 12. Everybody's played every game of the year, essentially 12 to 13 games for able to five guys who didn't start last year who played double digit games last year. And so they probably have the experience, just probably not starting experience. And they'll, I hate to say, oh, they're going to be fine just because they played last year. Because you go to what we talked about with Wyoming, which we put it up a while back. They were terrible in secondary, very young, but they have all this returning talent. But how good is the talent? We know Boise's kind of, you get my point, it's kind of the same thing. Just because they played last year doesn't mean they're step in and have two new NFL caliber guys in their secondary. I don't think they have that for this year. Jonathan Moxie probably will be because they had 10 pass breakups last year. Just played just as good as Darian Thompson and Dante Dion in that same category. Probably better than Dion. Was he a free agent pickup? I think I don't want to just say they'll be fine because they're going to come back. There is a concern at this area as the offensive line, but I think overall for historically, even most recent history for a defense for Boise, I guess I'll say they'll be okay, but it's an area where when they play Washington State, we'll know right away how good this secondary is.
All right.
So we just move the games anyway. So is that a good time
can
to move
we
also on?
Give a, sure. Can we give a shout out to Tyler Rousa while we're at it?
Yes.
Because he
please.
Because he's probably player. The best kicker in the conference. Which is, you know, is that something that Boise fans dread, Chris?
Well, the fact that we scholarshiped him so early, he really kind of took over, and he's helped kind of eliminate that kicking fear until he makes, you know, another.
I think the fear is having regulation goalposts, yeah. Right?
I think there will always be that fear. No matter how good our kicker is, I think there's always going to be those nightmares of the Nevada game or of the TCU game or, like, you know. Because it doesn't matter how good you are. It just comes down to that one kick when it matters most. And you guys know that as well.
Yeah, that's what happened. Like, I was lucky when I was, everybody knows I went to University of Utah the year. They went to an 08. They went to the Sugar Bowl. They had a huge comeback versus multiple teams. Like, remember Oregon State game specifically, this guy, Luis Okoda, would not miss. Everybody knew, like, it was going to happen. So having the guy where, oh, it's a 50-yarder for college guy, it's like, holy crap, he's not going to make it. This guy would just split it down the middle. With swirling wind, didn't matter. He had a guy who you know would make the kicks when it happened. So having that is a big deal. Knowing he'll make it and you're 90% sure he'll make it, 85% sure he'll make it, their confidence there, that's a big deal. And so if the defense give or the offense stalls, they should know field goals. If they're going for a field goal, it should be made and expect it to be made. And that's, I think, what Boise has here.
So we go to the schedule. They're favored every single game.
Raging Cajuns.
By a lot, with the exception of BYU.
And that's at home as well, correct?
Yeah. What? Lafayette?
BYU
is a home game.
Yeah, I found this interesting article on ESPN Insider, so you guys out there can Google it if you want. It'll probably be kind of old at this point. You know, they whatever metrics they have over at the four-letter network, their predicted point differential per game this year for Boise State is 15.1 points.
That makes sense because Bill C's projected margin is in the double digits for every single game. I shouldn't say every single game. Four games.
Well, it says,
and even then, Washington State is a predicted margin by about 7. Oregon State's about 8. BYU's about.
That's going to be double digit blow.
And then at Air Force is about 5.5. And so, like, I see where they're coming from. Like, that's not an unreasonable thing to think.
Mr. If we think their offense is as good as it could be, that's a possibility. But yet, let's get to the games here. But looking at who they play, while they're favored in every game, I could see trip-ups on the schedule. It's not going to be, oh, they're for sure going to beat at New Mexico, because three times they played New Mexico, they've struggled or lost in all three of those games. New Mexico, the first year, they're like a laughing stock when Bob Davie was just taking over. So there's plenty of teams, and they always screw up. The past couple of years, they've had some game. It's like, what the heck happened? Whether it's 7 turnovers versus Air Force, New Mexico last year, Utah State, those type of games. It's like, they're not as good as they were in the WAC or beating teams 50-10. I'm wondering if this offense is the closest it's ever been to have that. But again, you can't. It's there's going to be a game that's going to be like what's
going on. So where's
the
trip up this year? Is it New Mexico or is it Air Force?
They're both on the road. I don't know. It's a game we don't expect. I know Chris, you and I, and maybe Matt as well, knew New Mexico was a tough team just because the past couple of years they've always struggled. And people laughed at us saying New Mexico is not a good team, and we knew like they caused troubles. And we can make the joke about the triple option, but I could see Washington State being that team early on because they returned probably the best quarterback in the country, at least offensive-wise of what Mike Leach and everything they're doing. We know what his offense, air raid, what it can do with Luke Falk chucking the ball around.
At the same time, though, that game I could easily see being a touchdown win, but the game is going to end up like 62 to 55.
Yeah, I was going to say that if you didn't.
Very well. So let's start at week one. They have Louisiana Lafayette. Is there much we need to say
about that's a three touchdown ball.
It should be a three touchdown ball.
They won four games last year.
What did you say? I was going to say
it should be a three touchdown blowout.
It should be more than a three touchdown
blowout. I mean, the Cajuns have a couple of good pieces. You know, they got Elijah McGuire, who was a 1,000-yard back last year, one of the better running backs in the Sun Belt. But you know, if we're expecting this team to be able to replace the starters up front that they lost, then this should be a blowout easily.
And this is a road game as well, correct? At Louisiana.
Yeah.
Lafayette, whatever. They should win. I think McGuire's the one guy. If it's going to cause issues, he's going to be a guy to cause trouble. But if Boise gets up 10-0, 14-0, 17-3, they're not going to be able to use McGuire. And Brooks Hawk was nothing special. Five touchdowns. They split time with Jalen Nixon last year, who was back as well. So I'm not sure who's starting, but I don't think it matters. They weren't, like, even if those two guys split, their combined stats were 12 for 12 touchdown to interception. So it's going to be a big win. Washington State's the first game where it should be. We'll see how this, if we think the secondary's going to be fine or there's a step back, that's the team or the game where we need to watch out to see how good or what Boise State's up against. It's at home, which is a big deal. It's a evening game in ESPN2 at 8:15 local tip there. And that's where we'll know the secondary. Is it going to, Washington State's improved quite a bit over the past couple of years, obviously. And with the passing offense they have, well, this will know if Boise State's secondary is up to par.
I went back.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, I think if that front seven can get that pass rush in there.
Can they? Because they'll get rid of the ball like in 2 seconds. They're not going to hang the ball for much more than anything.
Okay.
I'm just saying. No, continue. I'm just counterpointing. That's all.
Yeah, no, I see that. I see this game being a shootout with a Boise win, but it's going to be like literally a shootout.
I went back and forth on this game as to what I thought would happen. And then I went back to the same kind of logic that I used when we were talking about, I believe it was San Jose State and Tulsa, where I asked myself, if I had to trust one of these defenses to make a stop, which one do I trust? And I trust Boise State. So I'm kind of with Chris in the same boat where you could probably see 100 points scored in this game easy. And, you know, Boise makes one stop at some point that turns out to be the difference.
But remember that Washington State also at the end of the year last year, they lost the Apple Cup 45-10.
Yeah, so I mean, offense is not a sure thing.
Right. So the offense is, yeah. So the offense does have a potential to sputter. We saw that 2 or 3 times last year in Washington State.
Also to consider, which is a good point, I think the defense, their weakness, and if there's any issue, because if their offense sputters, this is a team that can do it. If you look at the, like, over, I always use like pre-Stacian or preseason.stacian, they compile all the magazine rankings and stuff. Washington State's predicted 4th in the North, and North isn't supposed to be anything special in the Pac-12. Everybody's high in Washington, which we'll see if Chris Peterson has it together to be that good. Stanford's not going to be as great. Yes, they have Christian McCaffrey there. But Oregon, they're replacing a lot where they have another FCS quarterback taking over. So Washington being 4th in a weak Pac-12 North, Boise should win by, I think, 2 touchdowns. It'll be a lot of points, but looking at where they compared nationally, Washington State's not, they're probably going to maybe win seven games this year.
Possibly. And then the week after at Oregon State, I mean, oof.
Oregon, I don't get, this is going to be the most vicious blowout of the season.
Really? Are you sure you're not discounting old Malcolm West and Daryl Gerritsen?
Boise's team so well with is Daryl Gerritsen starting for them? Maybe is that a reason?
I believe he was at the top of their depth chart.
Oh, he's at the top, but this team, like, they were just awful last year. They're predicted last in the North. I know they have Gary Anderson back there, but they're not going to be any good. This is going to be just a crushing win, I think, for Boise State. And they're still rebuilding. I know they have, like, they have Chucky Keaton on staff. They have, what, all the guys from Utah State over there who are running the defense. They lost their top two defensive coaches last year. Connie Sitake's now at BYU, and he took Akele Usi, I believe his name is, as the linebacker's coach, or defensive coordinator, excuse me. They lose two of their best coaches, and they're going to win, like, four games this year. Losing who they had last year for coaching staff, and it's going to be tough. Like, it's probably Daryl Gerritsen. They lose Seth Collins as their quarterback. It's got to be Gerritsen. And here's the thing. Their quarterback, their running game's ridiculously bad. Seth Collins was their leading rusher last year, and he played quarterback. They don't have Stormwoods anymore. Ryan Nail is probably their starter, assuming he's still – I believe he's still there. But they're going to be awful. They lost – their offensive line had a pair of Pac-12 players. They're gone as well. This should be a steamroll victory with like 50-10. I'm just calling it right now. Like, they're just going to crush Oregon State.
Okay, moving on. Utah State.
Okay. Conference play. Oh, man, this stretch is going to be tough. Like, Utah State at New Mexico, hosting CSU, BYU. That's a pretty difficult stretch to go through for any team, conference or non-conference otherwise. That's four teams that are probably going to a bowl game. Rams are going to be tough I think they'll be third or fourth in conference, or division, I should say. But this stretch is where we'll see if Boise State, how good they are. Because they're bye week.
Yeah, I'm the homer pick here. And I say the, you know, 4-0 stretch, but the toughest game I see on the schedule is BYU. And simply put, because BYU and Boise State are very, very similar to each other in how they play, how the teams are set up, and really, you know, geographical. It's become almost the perfect bitter rivalry.
Can't say that if they go undefeated in October that they won't have earned it, because you're talking about starting with those three teams. I mean, those three teams are all division opponents too. So they could play themselves out of the conference title game by Halloween, which is kind of a strange thought. But I mean, to me, I think the biggest roadblock is that home game against Utah State. I know that they have some players that they're replacing on defense, but you know, Kent Myers is still a pretty good quarterback in his own right. And I think that if they can slow down Boise just a little bit, you know, that's the kind of game that I think could give them some trouble.
Well, remember, Utah State crushed Boise last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that they're going to, you know, fluke their way to another win like that again, but I think that the way that they tend to play on both offense and defense is a thing that could give them a puncher's chance.
I think the big concern, like we mentioned before, in Utah State, they lose four. All their linebackers are gone. NFL. Like, they should be okay. Like we said, Boise's secondary and offensive line should be okay. But what team in the country loses four players at one position group to the NFL and is going to be better? And with this, possibly Jerry McNichol is one of the top backs in the conference. I think Boise should win. Plus, outside of last year, Boise State's dominated this series. Like, there was a couple years ago, this is going to decide the division title. It's going to be a great game. People are excited. Boise State just, what were they up, Chris? What, 28-0 something ridiculously in the first half? They're just crushing them, and Utah State never recovered.
Like I said, I think last year was just desserts for Utah State. And really, that was a turnover-prone game. And then if Boise can limit those turnovers, those just mistakes, I'm also worried about New Mexico. But
as you should be, like I said, three games, they've won one of the, they've won two of them, but they were not easy.
No, they won. Yeah, they won two of them, but they're not, yeah. But
yeah, go back to year one in the conference. I believe Boise was up like 30-0, and New Mexico came back in the second half to make it like a one possession game or something, something very close. And that was when, that was before Football Bob became Football Bob at, in Albuquerque. Yeah.
I feel like that's the Boise State revenge tour, and that's how I feel about, and that's how I feel about Air Force as well, but. At the same time, they have to learn how to play triple option.
Well, I wonder if that.
So why is that? Why is that a concern, though? Like Matt and Chris, why is that a big, like, how can,
well,
they,
I wonder if it goes back to the fact that they're undersized up front and that they just get that those defensive linemen get worn down.
I can see that versus Air Force with a fullback dive, but New Mexico doesn't do the fullback dive. Because with Air Force, they, it's always, if you're the nose tackle, you're always taking the dive on the fullback every time. Every time you're taking the play, but Lobos don't have that type of play, really. They're more of a, they do go up the middle, but they don't have that fake handoff to the dive all as much, at least as much as Air Force does. But you could be right. If they're smaller up front, they just can't handle the amount of rushes going against them.
Yeah. The BYU game versus Tanner Magnum.
Magnum, who's that? Could be Taysom Hill. He's still around. He's getting a special shoe from Nike.
Sure.
Can we just say that they should have won that game last year?
They should have. Absolutely should have won the game.
Like, they lost. They lost that game more than BYU won it, if you're asking me. And I think, for, I mean, I'm not going to say BYU is not going to be a good team. They're probably going to be one of the better group of five teams out there. But yeah, I mean, they're losing some key. I mean, they still have that quarterback situation that they have to sift through, but they're also losing some key pieces on defense, like Bronson Kafausi. And yeah, I mean, I expect it to be a really hard-fought game. But
that's about it.
Again, if the offense takes the step forward that we expect them to, this is a game that they should win comfortably.
Also, one thing to consider with BYU, there's good. They'll probably be one of the better teams, might have seven wins, but looking at who they play, before they played this game, they'll have played Arizona, Utah, UCLA, West Virginia, a 10-win Toledo team from last year at Michigan State and Mississippi State.
They could conceivably be 0-6 at this point.
And they're not losing to Toledo or West Virginia, but they could have like two or three wins. I could see that for sure.
Yeah, no.
But what I'm saying is, like, who they're playing against and the strength, like Michigan State's playoff team, possibly Mississippi State's going to be, they're terrible. They're going to be fine. They'll beat them, but playing UCLA, playing Utah, who has probably the best defense line in the Pac-12 and beyond, they could be beat up by at this point, which, and it's also a, well, it's a Thursday game. They have a, they play Friday week before. So it's still one day rest to get prepared for the game. But we don't, here's the thing about BYU, like their running game, Jamal Williams is very good. He didn't play last year. He left school to withdraw his back. The quarterback situation should be fine, whoever it is. The receivers, Davis guy joined a tournament who should be a really good JUCO guy. But again, JUCO guy never played FBS. The best returning receiver has another cast on his foot again from last year, Nick Kurtz. Something happened during media day. And then they have a new, Ty Detmer's their new OC. He's never coached. He coached private high school in Texas. That's it. As a head coach, he's now their OC. And so there's a lot to like for BYU for who they have, but playing this schedule and against a team, this, where would you put Boise State? Probably be what, behind Michigan State only in that schedule? Utah, UCLA, Arizona. You put Boise probably behind Michigan State only, probably. Right? Second toughest team.
I would
team.
Probably put them behind UCLA too.
Okay, but one of the better teams on the schedule. It's already difficult.
Yeah,
as
it's
it is.
So front loaded. It's so front loaded. I, you know what? I'm changing my mind about BYU. This should be a big win.
I don't think it'd be a big win, but I think they should win this game. And then here's my thing. I think Wyoming might be that trip up game. Is that too far fetched to say?
Yes.
Or too crazy? Really?
Matt?
You're not listening?
No, I'm sorry,
I didn't
hear what you
said. Question I presented. Is Wyoming the game where they might somehow trip up?
No.
Is that the game? That's okay.
Yeah. You know, I originally thought BYU, but no. The more I think about it, it's either going to be New Mexico or Air Force.
So Wyoming to Victor. We'll move on from that. So let's kind of blast through these. Here's the weird thing about San Jose State. These odds may have changed by then, but Bovada brought them out. They put the Spartans as the third best team to win the conference at 10-1. Yeah, they have Boise and San Diego State. Boise's number one barely. I think it's 11 to. It's Boise and San Diego State are basically deadlocked. Boise has like a slight edge, but they put Spartans as the third best team to win the conference. I don't know where that's coming from. Because I don't know. Do they know something? Kenny Potter's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner or something nuts this year? That's a game. Because I think the triple option team is too obvious for them to trip up against. Maybe I'm psyching myself out, but San Jose State should be a win. It's at home, but Kenny Potter's a pretty good quarterback. And if like Billy Freeman and the other receivers they have in their secondary is known to be pretty good, this won't be an easy game on their schedule to probably
win. I'd agree if the game was at San Jose State.
In front of 10 people? Okay.
That was uncalled for. Right.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, 10,000. Sorry, no, I meant to say 10,000.
No, there's going to be at least 100 people there.
So what do you think, Matt? Is this a game sort of where they may struggle a bit, or they should, like,
no, I mean,
should be decent, I guess.
I mean, I guess I could keep it simple if we're talking about the rest of the schedule. You know, I'm kind of in Chris's camp where, you know, BYU and Air Force after Halloween are really, or right around Halloween, after Halloween, are really the only two obstacles between them and the conference title game.
No, that makes sense. They're the two toughest teams by far. Playing at Hawaii should be a win. UNLV versus at Boise, that's going to be a win. UNLV, we believe, should be better, but they're not there yet, obviously. And then at Air Force, could this be a revision of the what year was that? Was it 2012 where San Jose State crushed or not crushed, but blowout versus Fresno on that Black Friday? Was that 2012, 2013? Well, the reason I'm bringing that up, it's the same time slot, same network as well. 1:30 local time on Friday, November 25th.
It was 2013, first of all. And, you know, I mean, you could make the argument, but like I said, I like this offense more than I like just about anything in the conference. And so I think, I mean, I'm just being real. You know what I mean?
That's a fair statement.
True. So, I mean, I fully expect it to be a competitive game. You know, Bill Connolly has it as a 5.5-point margin, which sounds about right. And I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to the last possession.
Yeah, this is another game where I could see it's just outscoring your opponent.
Yeah, but also Air Force's defense should be better as well in the secondary and other positions. This is a defense where it's finally, I think when they had Tim Drew there as their DC a while back, that's when they're really good defensively before he moved for what, Texas A&M, now Fresno. They're getting to that level again where they have multiple defensive backs who should be all conference. They're always pretty good up front because they're speed wise. They can get to the quarterback. And then their offense, like, we had the guy Chet put in the comments a while back for this air preview, like the quarterback will be fine. They have receivers who can catch the ball. But again, Air Force doesn't throw enough to know who's going to be their number three or four receiver for us confidently to say it's going to be player A or B to be that guy. You got Robinette and McVay back there who are the top two options by far. As for quarterback, when you throw 15 times in what, 50 times in 3 years, sorry, I can't assess how good he's going to be. It's just nobody can really do that to an accurate assessment, say he's going to be 70% thrower for Air Force and throw like go 7 for 10 every game. There's games they may throw three times, which we've seen. But this, I think Air Force has the confidence for how well they played them. It's at the academy, and so hopefully they fill people up because there's sometimes big games they don't show up at that stadium. For in this being over the holiday, it's right after Thanksgiving, we'll see. But this game, Boise, they're going to be favored. So, like, there's nothing we should say where they're not going to win every game because they're favored. But I don't think they will. There's a possibility they won't win every game because Air Force could be a loss. BYU could be a loss. New Mexico, Utah State, maybe Washington State. there could be a way they go 7-5 this year. And I don't think people should be too shocked if that. Yeah,
I think the low on this team is 8-4.
Low. So I mean, 7-8 wins is probably my extreme basement. 7 wins being extreme because I don't think Utah State will challenge them.
I think the ceiling is undefeated, and then I think actually that's probably the most realistic scenario.
Your prediction? 12-0.
The homer pick has to go 12-0.
Well, I hate Boise as much as anybody, but I got them going 12-0 too.
You hear that? He hates Boise, but gives them a good record. People. I got to go the same way, like based on what I said, rewind 2 minutes and listen to that again. They should be 12-0, and I expect them to be 12-0. However, they've tripped up so much the past couple of years where I think I said 12-0. I think I was really early, like a couple of years ago. I did something for a CFB Matrix, and I'm like, I can see them going 12-0. I think it wasn't it may have been the Fiesta Bowl year 2 years ago, I believe it was. They didn't go undefeated. But they went to the Fiesta Bowl, and I predicted undefeated going to a big bowl game. I was off by a little bit. People are calling me crazy. They're not going undefeated. They're not this. They're not going to a big bowl game, but they did it anyways when they beat Arizona. And that was the year they lost to Air Force somehow. That was the weird 7-turnover game and everything. But I got to go 12-0, and yeah, I won't be shocked if they lose, but I'm predicting 12-0 just based on, like, the stretch is huge. Like, Utah State at home, Colorado State at home, BYU at home, all the tough games are essentially at home. What's their toughest road game? I guess it's New Mexico.
Yeah, it's got to be at Air Force.
Option teams. But besides that, it's not same besides that, but I'm going 12-0. So let's get to, we have a couple questions. I should pull those up here. One question I do remember, somebody said, if they're going to go to a New Year's Six bowl game, do they have to be undefeated?
I say yes.
Why do you say it? Because I have a handful
of teams in mind that could be, you know, the strongest contenders for, you know, the New Year's bowl games. You know, San Diego State, obviously, if they go undefeated, it means they probably beat Boise in the conference title game. And in that case, they would have a stronger claim. Mm-hmm. You know, if a team like Houston goes undefeated, I think that.
Well, Houston's not going undefeated.
But I'm saying if they do, I think.
If they do, they've got a strong.
They have a strong claim than a one-loss Boise.
Well, even 12-1, like if they lose only to Oklahoma, they go undefeated, and say you have a one-loss Aztecs or Broncos team, or excuse me, undefeated, they could pass an undefeated team in the Mountain West if their only loss is to Oklahoma.
No, because
I mean, I don't know.
You're playing Oklahoma State. You're playing Lamar, Cincinnati,
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Lamar, FCS team, Cincinnati, Texas State, UConn, Navy, Tulsa, SMU, UCF, Tulane, Louisville, Memphis. That schedule does not scream. That screams 12-1. That does not scream as tough a schedule as either San Diego State or Boise.
But I would put Louisville as the best win amongst any of these teams, Boise or San Diego State. If they beat Louisville, Houston does. That's a better win than either of these teams can have outside of beating each other. I'd say Louisville's better than Washington State and Oregon State and Cal.
I mean, maybe Cal and Oregon State. Definitely not Washington State.
I mean, I'm probably with Jeremy on this one. But, I mean, it's not out of the question that, like, if an undefeated team comes out of the MAC, like, let's say, I don't know, Western Michigan or Toledo or whomever. You know, I think an undefeated team out of the MAC probably has a better case than a one-loss Boise. But it's kind of hard for me to say off the top of my head.
I just know you don't have to be undefeated to get there because we've seen it too many times where a one-loss team can get in. Doesn't have to, but with other teams in the mix, like if Houston, I think a one-loss Houston, because again, it's if you lose week one, because like Houston's probably ranked, 15 or so in the top in the conference or country. And they lose to Oklahoma. Let's say they're still ranked. Say they're still at 25 because it's a 30-10 loss or something like that. They win 12 straight games. They're already ranked. They're going to shoot up even higher. And they're going to have the edge over Boise or San Diego State. Because from what I can tell looking around, I don't think either Mountain West team will be ranked. Even though I think San Diego State should be ranked. But I think you lose week one, you roll off 11 straight wins, 12 straight wins. You're doing it in convincingly fashion. They don't screw up versus UConn like they did last year. I think they'll look, just because they'll roll over last year to this year. Well, they lost to Oklahoma, who probably could be in the playoff, win the Big 12. That's where I'm thinking that's why the one-loss Houston team could get in over.
Well, I think a one-loss South Florida, now that I'm looking at the schedule, could probably have a better case than Boise 2, just because, you know, I'm assuming the one loss isn't against Florida State, because like if the Bulls beat Florida State, that's probably a pretty big deal. And if they have a one loss record, it probably means that they beat Houston in the American title game. So with that in mind, that would be another team that I would probably put ahead of one loss Boise.
Okay. All right. So let's, this is our end of wrap up show. So we all said 12-0. We'll save off on our predictions versus the title game, because I think we can say it now. We're all saying Aztecs, Boise State, but we'll give some more in depth in our big preview show the week before that game out in Australia. Or maybe it'll be that same week. We'll see how the schedules line up, but we won't go into any further than that. But they're going to be in the title game. I think we're all assumption under that. So if we're really quick doing the Mountain Division recap, what's your, like, let's start off. Go ahead, Chris. What's your order of finish for this division?
Boise, Air Force, New Mexico, Colorado State, Utah State, Wyoming.
I have Boise State, okay, Air Force, Colorado State, New Mexico, Utah State, and Wyoming.
Interesting. All right, I'm typing these down right now so I get them in order. So I guess I gotta go with Chris a bit. Boise, Air Force, New Mexico. I just don't know what to make of CSU, but I gotta go. I'm gonna just mimic what Chris said. Boise, AFA, New Mexico, Colorado State, Utah State, Wyoming. Part of the reason what Utah State being fifth in division doesn't mean you're going to be a really bad team. No, actually, no, I'm going to change that. I'm going to put, now I'm going to leave it. No, I was going to debate putting CSU fifth,
well, here's a fun,
no, I'm
here's
not going to do that to them. I'm going, yeah, Boise State, Air Force, New Mexico, Colorado State, Utah State, Wyoming. And yeah, that's where I got to go because of who Air Force has coming back. And New Mexico's offense is always that great. Utah State losing so many defenders. They should be good offensively, but defensively, they might actually take a step back. CSU, at this point, we're recording quarterback situation up in the air. If Izzy Matthews is that good of running back, that could be something to look out for. But Utah State's going to rebuild. So how many bowl teams do you see? I think there could be four bowl teams in this division.
Safely four, possibly five.
I have five teams in this division at 6-6 or better.
Okay, I think we're all on the same page. I could see Utah State getting into a bowl game as well, even though they're one of the, well, us predicting them at the lower part of the division. So there's five, that's a pretty big deal. Five bowl teams and a couple from the West. There could be seven or eight bowl eligible teams, awesome, perhaps. It's a pretty big deal. That's our show for today. We need to wrap things up because we've got longer than expected and I got to hustle to do a few work related things. And so that's our show. This is our ended up the Mountain Division preview is completed. So go back and listen to all these we have set up on SoundCloud. We have a playlist for all these now 12 shows. We'll make a 13th show because our next show will be our gigantic preview. We'll see how we'll set that up, but we'll just kind of give our big, like, we'll do bowl projections. We'll discuss who's going to win the title game, all that fun stuff. And yeah, so we're at iTunes, Stitcher, like I said, SoundCloud. Where else are we at? Google Play, finally. That's finally up and running. Any parting thoughts on the division, guys? Or Boise State in general?
Can we please have an undefeated Mountain West title game between San Diego State and Boise?
We'll talk about that next show, and I think thumbs up to this guy as well, thinking that's a possibility.
All we right, might want to close the comments for this podcast.
Never. I just won't get sucked in this time. Is that a good answer?
I don't care, Chris. Aren't you going to be gone anyway?
Yeah. Ouch.
Oh, that's pretty big. All right, so that's our show for tonight. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Football's here. We're excited. Well, we'll be excited when this actually comes to be. We still have about 10 weeks from now, or actually 8 weeks from now until season begins. But that's our show for this evening, and there's our Boise State preview again. Hey, give us the comments. We don't care. Tell us what you really think about the show. Give us 5 stars on iTunes and Stitcher, all that fun stuff, and we'll see you guys next week for our huge preview for the conference and maybe some nonsense for once.